From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
On the program this week, we'll be joined by Krista McKinney-King and Chris Farrell from Wayne Risa, from Oakland 80, Rana El Igo and Andrew Ferris, along with Jillian Guyman from Gesher Human Services, and rounding out the program, Dr. Catherine Cost, the interim superintendent for Wayne Westland Community Schools. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Wayne Risa is Krista McKinney-King, the Director of Workforce Development, and also Chris Farrell, the Wayne Risa Career Counselor in Workforce Development. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you're here today. Wayne Risa, for our School Talks listeners, is the county regional service agency that provides a whole bunch of support to school districts in Wayne County and other places. They're called intermediate school districts and so on, but it serves a really, really important function and is under some great leadership in the county. So with that, I'd like to start, maybe start with you, Krista. Your experience in the industry, how has it prepared you to support workforce development initiatives at Wayne Risa?
Over the course of my career, I've been a teacher, counselor, assistant principal, as well as a principal before I was able to come over to Wayne Risa. And I was the principal for Randolph Career Technical Center. So there I was really able to engage and see firsthand what it takes to prepare a student to be career ready. And so again, being the director currently of workforce development at Wayne Risa, I have a great team of career counselors as well as consultants who specifically support teaching and learning for adult education as well as career technical education, which all contributes to workforce development and, I should say, sustainability in Wayne County.
And I think one of your best counselors is Chris here.
Absolutely.
Correct?
That's why he's here.
Chris, tell us about your experience in helping you prepare for this line of work.
Yeah. Thank you for having us here today. This is my seventh year with Wayne Risa. Prior to becoming a career counselor, I spent 23 years as an educator and school counselor. We offer high school students throughout Wayne County information, resources, and events that provide career clarity towards post-secondary education and training opportunities. As a career counselor, we've extensively trained in workforce issues and challenges facing 21st century workers. We offer counselors, educators, and administrators professional development opportunities to network with various workforce stakeholders to allow connection, which empowers them to continue the work we do on a larger scale. We also have a fund for career exploration field trips that cover transportation and sub-coverage, as this can be a barrier for many schools.
So, you know, the way you've outlined some of the collaboration that you do with districts, can you give our listeners a really specific example of something you've done with a district that actually promotes sort of a laser focus on workforce development, some kind of initiative or something? Any thoughts on that?
So I'm at five different schools throughout the week talking to undecided seniors about future careers and next steps after graduation. But one of the things that I can think of the top of my head is in many of our schools, we offer some sort of career/job fair. Mm-hmm. And so all of these workforce partners that we've been able to connect with over the years are happy to come out, talk to students. In some cases, students have the opportunity to then carry on that conversation after they've spoken to them. So mm-hmm. that would probably be a prime example of where that's connected.
One of the neatest things about our show is we chat with guests from all over the state, and I've had the opportunity to speak to teachers and superintendents from way away from Southeast Michigan. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned in that process is the labor needs are very regional in our state. I can think of a great district up in Owosso. They have an incredible agriculture program that really wouldn't be front and center downstate here so much. And given that, where do you, and maybe this is either for you or Krista, where do you get your labor need information in order to drive this type of programming for districts?
So Wayne County is the largest county in Michigan, and with that being said, a lot of times much of our data coincides with data from the city of Detroit, which is the largest city. But again, looking at the labor trends, we focus on both the city and the county because that truly impacts what we do as a team. But more importantly, considering that, you know, advanced manufacturing, IT, and just really trying to delve into the gap between digital and technical professions. That's what we're really focusing on.
And that seems like, and I would imagine from your purview, trying to sort that out, it has to be one of the biggest challenges in terms of giving students the right path to look forward. Any thoughts on how you're navigating those kinds of challenges? Because as we know well, workforce development is kind of a big, broad term. Mm-hmm. What does it really mean? Mm-hmm. And in that and in that example, any thoughts on either how you're navigating those challenges and really some examples of what they may be?
Sure, I'll start off, and I know Chris will be able to add some great info. But what we've been doing lately is not about college or career ready. It's really about career and college ready, and in that order. So again, when students are pursuing industry certifications while they are enrolled in a career technical education, our hope is that they are duly enrolled at a post-secondary institution, therefore earning college credit even while working in a certifiable profession. So again, we look at it with a varied perspective, but we also know and understand that students must be exposed early on within their educational career for them to even understand what they may want to do. We also know that it is not our job to tell them, so to speak. We really guide them because what we found is that a lot of students don't know the different professions that are out there. And again, we're kind of working against the grain. We're thinking about the professions 5 years from now, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the professions for today.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you make a good point about it's tough to predict the future, which really sheds light on having students have a relevant set of skills no matter what comes their way. We're currently chatting with Krista McKinney-King and Chris Farrell from Workforce Development at Wayne Risa. Chris, I want to follow up. In terms of working, you mentioned working with students at schools several days a week. How do you approach providing one-on-one career support to students across, I imagine, a pretty diverse spectrum of learners, whether it's adult ed or CTE students? What are some things you do to work with them specifically?
So typically, for me, in my schools, the school year will start with what we call a world of work presentation. In some of my buildings, I will, have the entire senior class at one time and do a presentation, or they'll break it up throughout the day. I'll go into certain classrooms who primarily have seniors to talk to them about the world of work. And really from there, a survey is offered to the students if they want to continue that conversation. And that's where I get my sort of baseline data from. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I take the remainder of the year to follow up with those students and really try to connect them with resources that will help them. One thing I'd like to mention is when we look at labor trends, we have a very robust website that we offer. We share it with all of our school communities, and we use, Bureau of Labor Statistics or the Michigan Hot 50, which is a great tool to show students, you know, here are the trends. If you plan on living in Michigan, this is a list of the top 50 occupations. And what's great about it, it breaks it down by how much you'd make per hour, what type of degree or certification you would need. And they've even went as far as saying, well, if I am a high school graduate and that's as far as I want to go out of this top 50, which one of these can I do? And then it moves up to certifications, short-term certifications, 2-year degree, 4-year degree, or higher. So with diverse populations, you're going to have a diverse group of ideas or thoughts about what they want to do. And to your point earlier, one of the statistics that I share with students often is in your lifetime, you'll have anywhere from 15 to 17 different jobs and 5 different career pathways. And so you're absolutely right. Most students are going to have some change throughout their life, whether they want that change or not, mm-hmm. as we know, unfortunately. And so to be able to pivot and have the knowledge of where to go to get that information, whatever their next step might be.
You know, you've given us so much to think about and to discuss with regard to navigating post-secondary life. I'd like to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to hear a word from our sponsors. I want to talk a little bit more about how we help kids navigate that. And more importantly, where are those community partners, especially for those who stay in and around our area. So stay with me. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're back here on School Talks, continuing our conversation with Chris Farrell and Krista McKinney-King from Wayne Risa. You know, before the break, we were talking about ways that students navigate life after high school and what kinds of jobs there are, what kinds of skills they need, and so on. And before the break, we touched on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And Krista, I'd like to ask you, how do you leverage that data and feedback to measure the success of the programs you're using? And before the break, Chris mentioned the Hot 50. So how does all of that come together to help inform the work that you're doing?
So when we consider the data that we acquire, it is very important that we get firsthand the feedback from the persons that we serve, the students. We have a gentleman on our team by the name of Brad Minton, who is our post-secondary success navigator. And he works with those students identified by his peers, the career counselors, who still need some support once they enter the career or a college institution. And so, again, his job is to remove barriers, but to help advance so that these students can graduate. When we consider the stats that we're looking at, the feedback that we get, it's consistent and continuous. It's something that we have to do often because, again, what they're sharing, what we learn from the stats that are shared from the county level really drives what we are to do as a team.
And, you know, one of our core sponsors of School Talks is Must Construction
yes.
Careers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about post-secondary education or training opportunities, Chris, I imagine in your role as a counselor, you're providing students an opportunity to connect and or learn about either all or some of those apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about how that opportunity plays into your messaging to students when you visit their schools.
I think it's important that students know that these opportunities are even available to them. I think it always surprises me when I have one-on-one conversations or I'm talking to a group of students just how little they know about what their opportunities are. And Musk Construction is a great example. You know, they continue to connect with students on a wide range of levels. Whether it be at a career fair, some of the different union trades will offer field trip opportunities for not just students, but other educators, including counselors. And who's talking to students about their future but the school counselor?
You know, on this program, I've had the opportunity to interview many different unions and their apprenticeship program representatives. And an example I use regularly is oftentimes when you come downtown like today and you see a crane up in the air, there are so many different trades that are working in, around, and underneath that crane. And I think, you know, justifiably, most people probably take that for granted, you know, just some construction worker, so to speak. But the diversity of opportunity in that collective industry is unbelievable, and the demand for it. Musk Construction Careers, extraordinary organization in helping connect students and even adults who want a career change to pursue not only an incredibly good career, but one that is stable and provides them opportunity. It is really fantastic. So, Chris, I want to double back on something in terms of the Wayne Reese's work with community partners. And I imagine you're working with other workforce-type agencies. Tell us a bit about those kinds of groups that you work with and how it supports your mission.
Sure, and I have to go back and just acknowledge what you just shared, just about the construction industry or skilled trades. I mean, you're speaking my language. It's earn while you learn. And so going back to what Chris just shared, it is still concerning that a lot of students don't know about those opportunities. And we have a small team of about 6 career counselors who service over 30 schools within Wayne County. But that's why we rely heavily on our website and social media. So going back to the question that you asked, and I think, can you repeat it one more time for me?
Given
the agencies.
Yeah, the different agencies and community partners.
Sure. So we work very closely with SMCA as well as DESC because, again, that's the city of Detroit, which is in Wayne County. But we rely on them heavily with the workforce agency piece, knowing that a lot of the data that they acquire still will drive what we're doing. We are a firm believer that education and industry go hand in hand. We also have a business and industry roundup that our team leads. We will be doing it, I think it will be the third time in the last 3 years. And so we're able to gather business and industry professionals from all around Wayne County who are interested in supporting student growth, specifically when it comes to college and career.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you mentioned before the hot, I think you called it the Hot 50.
Yes.
I'm aware of that publication. Could you share with our listeners what that is and the kinds of information that is presented in that that helps students learn? Because I imagine when a student reads the top 50 careers, they may not know what half of them even do, mm-hmm. let alone what skills are required to do it. But could you give our listeners a sense of what that document is? Because I think it's one of the most important vehicles at a base level of educating students. Tell us a bit.
Absolutely. So it's interesting. When I started 7 years ago, the Hot 50, I believe, went through, it was either 2023 or 2024. And at that time, there was a major focus on skilled trades. And, you know, the point we kept on driving home is, if this is something you're even remotely interested in, we'd like you to explore this because we feel that this is something that you need to know about. And so really, for the last 6 or so years, that's been a big focus with a lot of the students that we serve. They've just updated the Hot 50, and one of my career counselor team members went through, and we came to the realization that that list changed. And I think approximately 80% of those jobs or occupations on that list needed or wanted a bachelor's degree. And so it was really interesting to see that pivot. And again, I think that goes back to the point that we're always needing to search and make sure that we have the most up-to-date information in a world that's, of course, changing very quickly.
And you know, I haven't seen the latest one, but it won't be long if it's not there yet on the impact that artificial intelligence is having. You want to talk about a new frontier and the rate at which it's changing. If you wait, it's like the weather in Michigan. If you wait 30 minutes, it's going to change, and it is extraordinary. So Chris Farrell and Krista McKinney-King from Wayne Reese, Workforce Development and Career Counseling. Great conversation today. I really appreciate you stopping by and giving us a good understanding of the great work you're doing there. And as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you
for having us.
Coming up, after a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with our friends from Oakland 80, Rana L. Igo and Andrew Ferris. And joining them from Gesher Human Services is Jillian Guyman. Stay right there. There's much more coming your way. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR. with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Oakland County, a subsidiary or a part of Oakland 80, are Rana Eligo, the administrator, and Andrew Ferris, the manager from Oakland 80. Joining them is Jillian Guyman, the Vice President of Workforce Development for Gesher Human Services, who works with Oakland 80 at the county. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start with this. I think a good place to start. Rana, can you best describe the primary mission and goals of Oakland 80 and how it supports careers in that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having us. Oakland 80 is a countywide initiative led by Oakland County Executive David Coulter for 80% of our adults to have a post-secondary degree or credential by the year 2030. We don't do this work alone. We have tremendous support from our Board of Commissioners. We also have support from many, many partners through multiple sectors, education, industry, skilled trades, and many others, where we do collective work. And then we have direct services for residents, both adults and high schoolers, where we've deployed a team of career and education navigators throughout the community to help students and adults kind of figure out what that next step is and how they can achieve some of those degrees and credentials.
Mm-hmm. So, Jillian Guyman, in your work with Gesher Human Services, what are the key roles and responsibilities that the administrative team within Oakland 80 Navigators, what are some of those roles and responsibilities?
Sure. So Gesher Human Services employs the 30 navigators that are currently deployed across Oakland County. And so in that, we want to make sure that we're providing ongoing support of the mission, working closely with Oakland County, and how we are providing those services and deploying them across the county. We also work closely with connecting our partners to all of the services and resources, making sure our navigators are trained and that they're well integrated into all of the different communities that we serve.
So how would you best describe a navigator?
A navigator is a person who's really just there to connect you to whatever resources you may need, identify any barriers, identify any challenges, identify maybe what that long-term education or employment goal is, and then provide you the resources or the tools in order to follow through and achieve those.
So Andrew Ferris, in your role as a manager there, how does Oakland 80 assist students and adults in planning those career paths and post-secondary education that Jillian alluded to?
So with us being within the high schools as well as at different locations with the adult navigators, we mainly try to provide those services through the one-on-one mentoring, sitting down with the actual client or the person to actually get their background, their passions, their interests, and then helping you get connected to those different resources and those different programs that are needed to be able to achieve that goal. But we don't just stop there. We try to make sure we have that follow-up and make sure that we hold you accountable to make sure that that goal is actually achievable from what you want it to be as well as what we can provide to help you get there.
So you mentioned resources. Could you give our listeners an example of a resource that you provide that actually helps them make their way?
Yeah, most definitely. We have tons of partners that we work with. So Oakland 80 Navigators were more so the connector. So we refer you to the different resources and the different things that you can have. For example, we work very closely with Michigan Works offices. They have the training programs and different resources like that that helps you get connected with different employers, different businesses, and different things that is influential to help you in that journey to achieve that final goal with whatever plan that we have worked together for you to be able to accomplish.
So as you describe that, it sounds like there is a lot of moving parts to this. And a question for you, Jill, through your work as vice president, is how does the administration track sort of student success and whether or not the program is effective?
Sure. So we do have, you know, formal tracking mechanisms that we enter in the services, the number of students that we reach, the number of events we participate in. That's one of the biggest things is we really want to meet people where they're at. So being out in the community and participating in different events, holding information sessions, not just for the students that we're working with directly, but for the parents, for the guardians, helping with the FAFSA process. So making sure that we're available and where they are and tracking those numbers. Back in 2020, when Oakland 80 started, Oakland County was at a 61% post-secondary educational attainment for our adults. And now through, the last few years, we're up to 69%. So, that's one of the metrics that we use and look at to see how we're reaching our goals.
An almost 10% increase in 5 years. That's pretty impressive. Makes you appreciate having a focus and a plan, which, as we know well, is often the mantra of career of technical education. So, Rana, following up on Jill's thought on tracking success, how do you collaborate at Oakland 80 with local schools, I imagine colleges and employers, to actually support student career readiness?
Thank you for the question. I think it's really important to acknowledge that we certainly can't do any of this work alone. As Andrew shared, we have navigators embedded within our high schools in Oakland County, about 17 different districts, many of those with multiple high schools. We also have navigators stationed at our post-secondary institutions on campus to help some of those adult learners, especially first-generation ones that have never been to campus or might, find themselves intimidated. We work with multiple community-based organizations. And you also mentioned businesses. We also work with businesses to help get a good sense of what are those skills, credentials, what are those things that employers are looking for that we can help direct students, making sure that they're making really smart decisions on what kinds of different credentials they're going to explore, how do they achieve those. We also talk to employers about upskilling their own employees, taking advantage of some of the wealth of resources that we have throughout the state, such as Michigan Reconnect, where you can upskill your existing workforce with free community college if you're 25 and older and you don't already have an associate's degree. So thinking of a very, very strategic ways to partner with different organizations to make sure that their residents, their employees, their students are aware of all these resources that we have, and then making sure that they have the supports through our navigators to achieve those goals.
So we're currently chatting with Rana Eligo and Andrew Ferris, along with Jillian Guyman from Oakland 80, and talking about careers and opportunities for students, especially in the post-secondary world. I want to follow up, Andrew. How do you ensure that all students have access and are included in career training and programs, regardless of where they are? What are some key points to making that happen?
That's an amazing question. So every student has different backgrounds. They come from different areas and different walks of life, but being able to know that whatever obstacle you are being faced with or what other support systems and barriers that you do come into contact with, we can make sure that you have all of the resources that we are able to get our hands on or work with you to be able to make sure that that plan doesn't seem so impossible. Making sure that when you are going through different things or going through different life challenges, that we can build a plan or build a journey and connect you with the right people to where whatever passions, whatever goals, whatever career, whatever college you're trying to go to, it doesn't seem like this far out goal, because that's usually what stops a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we try to make sure that with these connections and with these resources and all our partners that help us out with that, that you do have what is needed to be able to obtain whatever that is.
Your example is best captured by a metaphor, and that is there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I can tell you, I've known many students that once they see that light, mm-hmm. their motivation to finish often takes not only an accelerated direction, but one that gets clearer and clearer over time. And the kinds of work that you're doing here at Oakland 80 is really impressive. I want to thank you, Rana Eligo, Andrew Ferris, and Jillian Guyman, for stopping into School Talks, sharing with us, without question, some really important work. And as always, keep up that good work, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with Dr. Catherine Koss, the interim superintendent for Wayne Westland Community Schools. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on School Talks is Dr. Catherine Koss, the interim superintendent for Wayne Westland Community Schools. Welcome to the program, Doctor.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I appreciate you taking time to join us here as the school year begins. In your role this year, could you share with us some of what your primary goals are and priorities as the school year is underway?
Absolutely. What a great question. First and foremost, finding each child's path to success is super important to all of us. Making sure students are engaged, making sure they enjoy what they're doing, they're connecting with adults, they're connecting with other students. That's probably along the mental health side of things as well as the academic success side of things.
Very much so. And you know, the history of college and career readiness in the district, could you shed some light for us on how you plan to continue the focus on college and career readiness for the students in the district?
And that ties into your first question about finding every student's place, because sometimes their skills lead them to different career paths. So making sure we have something for every student is so important. Our STEM programs, our CTE programs, we offer 21 different certificates for students to achieve. And it turns out to be just a spotlight of the district.
You know, the historical perspective between college and career, which, as we remember, is vocational, there was a longstanding stigma that vocational meant you were just going to work. And ironically, when you look at Michigan and all the different groups we've interviewed on this program, all the work really is in jobs that you can get either right out of high school or into apprenticeships and so on that are offered through sort of the career readiness path. More, not necessarily more so than a college degree, but just given the commercial boom in Michigan right now, the amount of people I've met on this show who have more than enough work to do in this lane speaks volumes to that that dichotomy really isn't what it used to be, and nor should it be, just given the amount of work. So in your role coming in this year as an interim, and you superintendent for a long time in other district, and how will you support and engage teachers and staff and the community to sort of promote a positive environment as the school year gets underway?
So we have over 1,000 certified staff, and they go through so much training. And in watching them in these first few weeks of school, their engagement strategies are what makes Wayne Westland so special.
You know, when I was superintendent in Warren Consolidated, Wayne Westland often felt like a sister district to us because we're almost identical in terms of size and number of schools. Also, it traveled a similar path of size and, you know, restructuring and that. And to have 1,000 certified staff to this day is still very similar to Warren Consolidated Schools. And given your experience as a superintendent, I'm sure you've been following all of the changes at the state level with regard to school safety. I was fortunate to have a conversation recently with the Michigan State Police Office of School Safety, and some of the work they're doing to improve student safety is pretty impressive. Any thoughts on strategies that the district is already using that you'll continue, or any new ideas that you may have?
So in 2018, we had a bond, and we were able to put safe entrances in 17 of 18 sites. This year, we're having another bond on November 4th, and we're going to add a safe entrance in our last school site. That combined with SROs, two SROs that are supported by both Wayne and Westland communities. Okay to Say has been huge in helping us navigate tips that otherwise we might not hear.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, in my time as superintendent, only two things would wake me up in the middle of the night when I first started. That was a snow day or a boiler went down. Now, Okay to Say, you get a tip in the middle of the night, and it really is a preemptive tool unlike anything. You know, initially many thought maybe it's being overused, kind of like the person who calls 911 because their cat's in a tree, but what it has done to transform a culture where students feel comfortable sharing has been extraordinary, and that's hats off to the state for implementing that. So as the school year gets underway in the district, any major changes or updates you want to share with regard to district calendar or any big new policies or activities happening educationally?
We're excited to kick off our STEM program, K-8, as well as classes in our middle schools and high schools. Innovative Academy is another option for students. And what is unique there is if students want to take classes in the morning and then go pursue a work environment in the afternoon, they can. So it's a flexible option for students, more of a non-traditional, but it lets them explore their talents and where they're going.
So we're currently chatting with Dr. Catherine Cost, Interim Superintendent for Wayne Westland Community Schools. I want to follow up on that. The afternoon where they go somewhere, sort of what we used to know as co-op, does it connect them with an employer?
100%. Internships in a variety of fields. Mm-hmm.
And it really echoes my point earlier that students who are coming out of high school have a different career readiness based on opportunities like this as opposed to going to college and getting a four-year degree. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is a sort of a different time in our state as it relates to that, especially given how the state is investing in those kinds of programs and supporting districts and doing that. So as a superintendent with your wealth of experience, how will you approach collaborating with the Board of Education?
Well, they're my bosses. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because we work together to bring initiatives, to bring ideas, and make the best climate possible within the district.
Mm-hmm. And as we said earlier, that Wayne Westland has an extraordinary tradition, much like I mentioned Warren Consolidated Schools. As you embark on this journey as interim for a year, any message you would like to share with the district students, families, and staff under your leadership as we get started?
I am grateful and I feel blessed to serve this community. They have welcomed me with open arms, and we are in the midst of a great school year.
Fantastic. Dr. Catherine Koss, the Interim Superintendent for Wayne Westland Community Schools, thanks so much for stopping by. Wayne Westland is lucky to have you there with your experience and above all, your integrity in this position. So I wish you well, and as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And with that, I'd like to thank all of our guests for a great show today. Krista McKinney-King and Chris Farrell from Wayne Risa, Rana L. Igo and Chris Ferris from Oakland 80, along with Jillian Guyman from Gesher Human Services, and rounding out the program, Dr. Catherine Cost, Interim Superintendent from Wayne Westland Community Schools. That's all the time we have for today, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this is School Talks on 760 WJR.